It's the afterglow of the news, according to me. Yes, I'm going to talk a little bit about I've had a moment to reflect on everything that happened with the press conference with Joey. Jojo, I like to call him. And just for those of you who want to know, I have a bit of sweet tea here with me. However, I am sitting in my car recording this again. It's coming to you straight from the car, the mobile unit. I'm out here in the reporting from live from somewhere, non-disclosed location. I'm in my car. That's all you need to know. I'm not going to tell you where my car is. I'm just going to tell you that I'm in my car. That's all you need to know. Beyond that, you don't need to know anything. We're going to keep a lid on it, because I guess that's what we do now. Keep a lid on it. So I don't even know where to begin with. I've listened to some of the sound bites that's been putting out there on the news. I am astounded and amazed. I'm astounded and amazed at how the news media is slobbering all over this guy. I don't get it. Now they did ask a few tough questions, but if you compare Trump's first news conference, which happened within the first couple of weeks, I think, if you compare that to Biden's news conference, it's like a frenzy of zombies coming after Trump. He just steps. I'm not even sure that they expected him to. I believe that the first press conference where he stepped out in the podium, they were expecting to hear from the press secretary, and he steps out there. I'm pretty sure that's the way that happened. That they may have had a clue. I mean, it can always happen. Traditionally, it has been one of those things where they don't always announce when the president's going to be giving a speech or giving a press conference. It's the presidential press conference, and the press secretary represents the president's views. However, you never know when the president may just step in himself and do it. That's always been a possibility, except with this administration, the Biden-Harris administration, to be clear, because they have to plan it weeks ahead of time, weeks in advance, because they obviously have to have a lot of preparation and a lot of coordination with people asking questions. Now, many of the answers that he gave are answers that he's given and statements he's made in past speeches and answers to questions that he's fielded from interviews. And of course, those have all been canned as well. I mean, everything he's done so far have been heavily edited. I've got to concentrate. Echo. So many of you will not get that joke, because most of you have not watched the movies I've watched. Most of you are probably younger than me, or at least many of you are. You will not get that joke. So and that's your problem, not mine. I'm not going to explain it to you. I'm just going to laugh inside, and those of you who know it, we're going to laugh as well, and those who aren't laughing will just look at you kind of funny and then laugh at you because you don't know that joke. So we have this issue of this guy is incompetent, okay? Even when he was in his prime, he was incompetent. He's never been an honest man in terms of politics. he's done even speeches. It's one thing when you're giving a speech and you say, in the words of JFK, you say something. He doesn't do that. He's done several speeches, and there's Larry Elder did a really good expose on this the other day. He did a montage of all the times that Joe Biden gave speeches that were directly out of someone else's. I mean, it was direct plagiarism. Directly, even talking about stuff about his family. It was somebody else made the speech about their family, and he's saying the same thing about his family. I guess just because the situation was similar. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't even similar. Maybe he was just making stuff up. But it blows my mind. And of course, you've got people. So many of the things that they're saying, and I don't think people really step back. There's so many sound bites and platitudes being used that I don't think they realize how they contradict each other. And therein lies the big problem. When you step back and think about things that he said in this press conference thing, and then there's the things he didn't say. There's things that a lot of what he said, like the answers that he gave, were not actually answers to the questions. He sidestepped the question and gave answers to something else, which is that's typical in politics, unfortunately. It's also very frustrating for those of us who want those answers to those questions, but you can't expect answers from these people. And even if you get answers, you can't expect them to be legit. Speaking of which, I think I may discuss this near the end of the show today. This is going to be a short show. It's going to be about 35 minutes today, just because of this whole thing with being in the car. But I just want to make it to be clear. The honesty that we get from politicians is not expected out of most of them. So just to be straight on that, I don't really expect much out of them. My expectations are pretty low. However, my hope is that they would, come clean and just be real, tell us the truth. They tell us these stories about people. Met this lady, so-and-so, she went, I don't know, whatever. Okay, yeah, that probably didn't happen. Okay, most of these stories are straw men. Most of the comments are gaslighting. The Republican voters, are the overwhelming majority of Republican voters are for me on everything I'm doing. They're for it. Like, no, I think probably you might have had a pretty high number of people wanting the stimulus checks, but everything else that was in that bill, I think was probably about maybe 10% of the Republican voters wanted that. Certainly not the independents. I don't know how they did this, but there was apparently a grading scale. They had people grading Biden, I guess, as he was doing stuff. And there were independents, there were left, Democrats and Republicans and independents. And they had this grading scale as he was making statements. They were kind of like a live, interactive grading type thing. And on several of the statements, Joe like bottomed out, like got F's, D's and F's after making some statements and going and saying some things in some of his answers in the press conference. Now, and it happened quite often. He quite often got very low grades, of course, from Republicans on just about everything he said. And he got extremely low grades and sometimes all the way to the F's on the independents. Now, this was an ABC or CBS or something broadcasting or something. It might have been Fox. I don't know. Now, interestingly enough, he took questions from 10 reporters. And then he walked off the stage. Didn't take any impromptu anything. fact, when people came up with impromptu follow-up questions, which they were not supposed to do, that's, I guess, part of the rules in this press conference was they were not supposed to follow up on any questions. However, there was even one gal who, there was one lady. There was one lady who decided to ask a follow-up question on a question that someone else had asked. And you could tell it kind of perturbed Joe a little bit because this was not part of the rules. So he got more than 10 questions, but he only was expecting 10 questions. Of the 10 reporters that did question him, there was no one from Newsmax, OAN, or Fox. Now, I think... they've been putting Peter Doocy up quite a bit because he's been asking some serious questions. In fact, he had a lot of questions to ask about a lot of things. He put these questions out there, and of course, now he said something the night before, I think, about having binders full of questions. They had stacks of questions that they wanted answers to, and they had kind of a list of priorities of what they would ask if they were called upon. And that may have scared. He actually was interviewed the night before, I guess it was two nights ago, that he made this comment about having all these questions, and that probably caused them to not. Now maybe he didn't even submit them. I have the feeling they were supposed to submit all the questions that they were going to have, and they could probably had like a list that they could choose from, or they had like a list of like they had here's five questions you can ask, let us know what they are, and we can that way we can prepare for them. But it was very obvious. It was very obvious that Joe had a list. You know, had all of his papers up there, shuffling them around, and with each person that he was asking, he was shuffling through his papers, looking for his notes on how to respond to that. There was one. It was interesting. A body language expert, supposedly, who kind of analyzed some of the things that Joe said. It was on Newsmax. He said that the one tell that Joe has that's very predominant, and he said he's noticed it's probably his most used what you call tell, which means it's a giveaway. It says this is this is a setup for what he's saying, or this is when he responds with a kind of a mouth noise thing, And then he'll do that just prior to saying something that is it prior or post? I think he said it was prior. Prior to giving a canned response. In other words, something he's practiced. So he'll go into it. He'll kind of take a breath and do that little thing, and then he'll go into this little canned response. And they played several clips of that, and now and I've heard him say that. I've heard him do that quite often, actually, and I've always kind of wondered, like, what is that going on? What's that about? Because it's always kind of. I've heard other people do it. Bill Clinton actually did it quite a bit. He did that little, and then went on, and it probably was the same thing. I guess it's very typical when a person is about to say something that they've rehearsed or that they say the same phrase that they say often. I guess they'll do that. I have not noticed that. I guess there's some people who, when you go to something like a Toastmasters, or you go to a speech practicing class or do something like that, where you really analyze and really. Pick on everything that a person does in terms of, you start to, or if you just done your own self-analysis of your own speech, you can do speeches and you go back and listen to yourself or go, watch yourself on video. That's a good way to critique yourself. But other people watching you will tend to notice things you don't notice or things you might think are very annoying to people. They don't notice it at all. So it's good to have that kind of interaction with people who, any good speaker who wants to develop their skills, or just somebody who just wants to develop better skills so that they're, they may not feel comfortable in front of people, so they do something like this where they can practice their skills and actually have some handles. Now, I'm kind of a natural speaker. I've been using a lot lately, I've noticed, during these. I notice it after I say it, or as I go into it. Circleback Pasaki apparently does not notice how much she says and It is almost, for me, it's disturbing how much she says it. I don't know if other people notice it that much or not. But she says it so much that it's almost like an overwhelming a number of times in a particular, when she'll make a statement. And the more she says it, and the more she says it between words and as she's saying, there is this tendency to want to fill a gap with these. We had a teacher that used to call these certain kinds of words, and I can't remember what they were called. It's a filler, something gap, something. I don't know. She had an English teacher in high school that used to call it something, and I can't remember what it is. But it tries to engage. What it is, it's an insecurity of someone else jumping into the conversation. So you have to keep the because you want to stay on top of the conversation and not let someone else get you messed up or derailed. I'm not sure what the word is there. Just to cut in and ask a question, because you have this, believe me kind of thing going on where you've got to put your idea out there before it's, squashed. You feel like you need to be heard, so you go through this whole. That's the kind of thing. That's what it is. So, and some of that's very, very perfectly natural to do that. But the length at which she goes through is every statement. I mean, I can't stand to even listen to one full round of question in response to her, just because of the number of times she said it's almost unnatural. There's an unnaturalness about it, and that's what makes it kind of uncomfortable for me. Now, other people may not even notice that kind of thing. If you don't do anything that's in the speaking world, I guess. When you have a job that involves sound recording and audio recording, scripts and doing, narration and that kind of thing, you become more sensitive to those kinds of things because you're working in it all the time. It's like a plumber who looks at a piece of, I can look at plumbing all day long and I don't notice anything bad about it. Somebody who knows what's going on with plumbing will look at something and say, well, it's supposed to have a 1-inch drop every 10 feet and it doesn't have it. So it's like, oh, I had no idea. They'll look at it and almost vomit because it looks so bad. And I have no idea. I have no clue. Well, the pipe's connected. It's not leaking. That's all I know. I don't know. What else you need to know? So, electrical wiring, same thing. An electrician would look at electrical wiring or something like that. Now there's, so any kind of profession like that where people are in it all the time and they strive to do, excellent work are going to do those kinds of things. So that's where we're at with this. Now Joe, he says he had a childhood stutter. There's no record of Joe ever stuttering, ever. And when he got into, just look at him 5 years ago, he never stuttered. There was no stuttering. There's a difference between a stutter and a stammer, actually. A stutter is, you can't, it's different. A stammer is where you, and then you, you, st- you, oh well. I mean, it's this kind of bouncing back and forth between you're not sure what you're losing your train of thought. stammering is more of a loss of being on track. And it's a, I should have pulled up the definition of stammer. But it's very different than a stutter. And that's what Joe has. And he's calling it a childhood stutter. And he brought this out very early in his campaign when he was running for office, even back during the primaries, because he wanted to make, because he said something about people picking on him because he had a childhood stutter. And he wanted to nip that in the bud. He wanted to get that out of the way so that people wouldn't pick on him because of his stutter. It's not a stutter, folks. It's different. And he's never stuttered. There's no record of him ever having stuttered in his life. He's talking all through Congress, all 120 years that he's been in Congress, which was another slip-up. A lot of the things he'll say are kind of obvious cognitive connection issues in terms of time and space. And so it's kind of a, oh, how do you say, it's just weird stuff. Now, there's the contradictions. I want to get into this a little bit because there was a lot of contradictions in what he's saying. They're saying, now, Circleback Psaki says that there's only 10% of the families that show up at the border are being taken in. The vast majority are being turned away. Joe said the vast majority of families are being turned away. If that's the case, and we still have 12,000 families that we're taking in, that seems a little bit odd. Now, there's also these stories of these kids. There's a 9-year-old Yosef, I guess, that came from Guatemala or someplace. About a 2,000-mile walk. Apparently, his mother sent him on his way because Joe's a nice guy. Joe's a good guy. He's a moral man, moral individual who should be in prison. This guy, oh my gosh. It's very telling when you have a reporter get up and expound the wonderfulness of how moral this guy is. And to her defense, she's only going by what the people are telling her. I mean, she's just believing all the crap that everybody around her is saying. That, you know, that somehow Trump was this horrible person, he was immoral and a liar and all this stuff. And so they just go right down the road of this whole thing. So to some extent, yeah, okay, I'll cut her some slack. But if she knows better, which she should, if her eyes were wide open, she would understand. You know, you can't just buy into everything that anybody's saying. And on either side of the fence, whether it's Republican or Democrat, you have to step back and say, okay, what's really going on here? And, you know, look at both sides of it. Try to figure out, okay, if this person is telling me the truth, if what they're saying is true, then does it add up and connect dots to everything else around what I know to be truth, you know, myself? Lindsey Graham is a good example of this. Lindsey Graham has been about as mealy, you know, he's been wishy-washy, squishy, I would say, as a Republican, as any Republican I've known. In the Senate, he's not always honest. He's honest in his own world. What he believes to be honest, I don't know if he's very self-aware. Because he seems to be a bit of a chameleon when it comes to policy, and I would not even put it past him. I know he was doing a lot of golfing with President Trump, and I would not put it past him to have been a little weasel, kind of a mole. He's got some connections to the establishment, let's just put it that way. And I would not be surprised if Lindsey was kind of, you know, he was very much in the tank with Senator McCain. John McCain, when he was in the Senate, he pretty much was under his wing. And Lindsey was a very different individual until John McCain died. Now, I'll say to Lindsay's credit, in the last few months, he has been a little bit more focused with regard to some of the support for Trump and that kind of thing. But he's one of those individuals I would not trust very far, just because of his past track record and just kind of the way he is. I'm not saying he's a bad guy. I'm not saying he's evil. I'm not saying he's I don't know. I don't know anything about his personal life or stuff that's going on with lobbyists and payola and all that kind of crap. I don't know anything about any of that. But I do know that I don't necessarily think he is. I think he'll do whatever's politically expedient in the moment with his base. That's what I think. So there are those individuals out there. Now, Joe is not a very, what's the word? His aptitude is not really there. His articulation is very weak. He's very tired. I think one even CNN reporter mentioned during his time there, he'd answered like two questions, and the guy was like, he's knocking it out of the park. Two questions, knocking it out of the park. And by the third or fourth question, he said, he seems tired. It goes beyond tired, buddy. Okay, there's more to it than just being tired, because, and he was, he did seem tired. And that's what was kind of weird about the whole thing, because he was actually like panting during part of this whole thing. He was like, he would like get into these moments where he breathed kind of heavy. That is not a good sign, by the way. I don't know what you've been told, but that's not a good sign. So it's just weird stuff like that. And of course, then he had a list of people he was going to call on, and he would go down the list and he would call on individuals. And of course, he had his page up where he could cover different things. One of the other things he was talking about, and I think this was kind of, it's very rude on his part. And it might have been in Fox News, or might have been somebody on some kind of news panel. And I think that they were, and personally, I think that they hit it on the head. He talks about unity and talks about wanting to bring people together. When he was pressed on the issue of running in 2024, you could tell it irritated him. I think because he realizes he's not going to be a candidate in 2024, and he didn't want to say it. He didn't actually want to come out and say, you know, I'm not going to run in 2024. Because that would, of course, spark a whole bunch of issues, and that just brings up a whole lot of stuff. And then of course, the whole news cycle is going to be, who's the next candidate going to be? I think in the process, I think he's, what he did was he diffused it by saying, well, of course my intentions are to run again. Excuse me, but my throat is getting a little dry. I don't know what's going on with that. Can't imagine why. So he was asked about this a couple times, and he didn't know, you can tell he just didn't know what to say. He's kind of taken back by it, I believe, a little bit. So he ended up saying something about, well, they said, do you think you'll be looking, running against Donald Trump? And he kind of poo-pooed that idea, that whole thought. It was, it wasn't going to happen, kind of laughed at that question. And then he said, I don't even know if there's going to be a Republican Party. At least that's the way it sounded to me. I don't know what he actually said. I think the other reporter said that he said that as well. I couldn't believe he would actually say that. I don't know if there's going to be a Republican Party. I think what he meant is who the Republican candidate's going to be. I think it's what he meant to say. But that's not what he said. So So Joe, you want to bring unity. That's not going to do it. You know, answering questions about the filibuster. You could tell he doesn't like the filibuster, but the only thing about the filibuster is the party who's in power doesn't like the filibuster. The party who's not in power fights to keep it, because it only benefits the party who's not in power. Now, there have been a couple occasions where the Republicans had an opportunity to get rid of the filibuster, and they did not. And I'm not going to get into what the filibuster is and all that kind of stuff, but it's just, let's just say it has a bearing on how many votes you need in the Senate in order to pass something. That's kind of what it's about. There's something called reconciliation for budget reconciliation. There's also something called the two-thirds supermajority rules and those kinds of things. So it's, I'm not going to get into all that. Let's just say it's a political football issue as well. So that's what they're going through with that. One of the things he said, though, was he said that this child walked up from, you know, walked 2,000 miles to get to the border, and we're just going to turn him away and let him starve to death on the other side of the border. Well, let me just make a point here about something. First of all, if we're being told that a child walked all the way up here, which I seriously doubt, somebody helped that kid get up here. Okay, he didn't come by himself. You don't just send a 9-year-old and say, hey, that'd be like where I live in Indiana. It'd be like saying, okay, I'm going to take this little child here, this 9-year-old son of mine. I'm going to tell him, hey, why don't you just go ahead and start walking? Here's a little backpack and here's a sandwich. And you start walking, wind, weather, whatever you got to go through. And you go down to the Texas border. It's about the same. That's about 2,000 miles from here. And, Joe Biden's going to take care of you, because Joe Biden's promised to take care of you. I trust Joe because he's a good moral man. He wants to sniff your hair. So you go on down there. So that child, he makes it. He walks down 2,000 miles and they turn him away. They turn him away at the border, and next thing you know, he's dead because he starved to death. A boy who can travel 2,000 miles and make it through all kinds of wind and weather, all of a sudden, he's gone. Because he died from starvation. Because I guess there's nobody in Mexico who's going to feed him. There's no humanitarian organizations on the other side of the border who are going to keep him alive. He's just dead. He's dead. This is the kind of ridiculous stuff that is said. And we're supposed to just, there's nothing outside of the U.S. There's nobody that will take care of that child. There's no way he'll survive outside of the U.S. Now, a lot of parents, what's happening with a lot of these people is that the families are coming here. They're turning their children over, and then they're walking. These are the people who are being turned away, supposedly, are people who are dumping their kids at the border. Not because they don't love their kids. They're doing it because they know that America has a better opportunity. And, of course, because we're such a racist country, apparently. You know, the Democrats think this is a horrible, racist country, terrible place to live. The whole place is racist. Why do you even want to live here, first of all? And why do you want other people to live here? Why are you encouraging other people to come here if it's such a racist country? There's a lot of issues with this whole thing. So at this point, it's kind of a frustration. And there were more contradictions of things that Joe said, and I won't get into everything. It's just nitpicking everything he's saying. But it's just so many contradictions, so many things that are said that actually are, that just don't add up. And I guess that's what's so frustrating, is that nobody calls them out on this stuff. Nobody even talks about it or calls them out on anything, which is very frustrating. But I'll leave you with this. President Trump said something that was pretty funny. He was talking about the virus. He said, "Well, you know, nobody's being tested. They're letting these people in. They're not testing anybody. They're a lot of people are coming across the border. They're not testing them. They're letting them loose, and they're not." He goes, "You know, the Chinese." Or he goes, "He goes something about the coronavirus, as some people call it, And he says, other people call it other things. Because he wasn't going to say Chinese virus. But you know what he was talking about. Which I thought was hilarious. He's like, he's saying it without saying it. Which, he knew that the algorithm would shut him down if he said China virus. Hey, folks, have a great day. It is Friday, coming up on Shabbat Shalom. Not sure if I'll be able to do a show very early today. It's going to be a late show if I do. Have a great day. God bless. Have a great weekend. We will talk to y'all later.